It's all the Guthrie time.
Thank you, Tony. Marvin, hello, everybody. You're listening to a guy that feels good for the first time this year. Oh, gee, it's wonderful to feel good. Yesterday, you could have called me a very cheap doctor and an undertaker, and I would have been all right. Today, I feel fine. It's such a lovely, lovely weather, and the man promises us that we're going to have it for the next two or three days, maybe even including Sunday. Wouldn't that be wonderful, huh? A holiday, three-day holiday. Most people don't work tomorrow, just us slaves here. Tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, three wonderful days. You'll take care, won't you, huh? You know, I hate to put a damper on it, but you know what's going to be Monday morning in the papers? 350 killed over the holidays. All from B-A-M-P-H-O-L-L-I-S-H-N-E-S-S. How do you pronounce it? I can't think how you pronounce it. But that's what's going to cause it all. Be careful, will you? For heaven's sake. It's tough enough getting an audience without you guys passing out on me. I saw a story in the New York World Telegram yesterday that convinced me that the age of chivalry is not dead. And I'm very happy about that, too. It seems that Mrs. Sam Foster of Algona, Iowa, was engaged in moving her kitchen range the other day while four men stood by watching her. Now, I'm a great man for chivalry like this. I think this is wonderful. They obviously were gentlemen because they were standing. And another thing, they didn't break her concentration by talking to her. That's the mark of a true sportsman. Well, Mrs. Foster had the stove sliding along smoothly, and all of a sudden, one of the legs gave way. The stove leg, I mean. And the reins got out of control and fell on her. Chivalry dead? No, sir. Instantly, the four men got up, picked up the stove, while the lady crawled out from under. And then they leaned against it to further demonstrate their chivalry. Leaned against it while she fixed the broken leg. Those are four guys in Iowa. What is this I heard about? Why, oh, why did I ever leave? Oh, Wyoming. Oh, it's a different state. A different state. Great day in the morning. And you know, it's unusual to find men so thoughtful. Not to interfere with a woman. I'll tell you one thing. If she had had those four men move that stove around in the kitchen like I've moved the furniture around in my house while my wife was trying to make up her mind where to put it, I don't blame them. My back is broken double from that. Why is that? Let's put it here. No, let's put it here. Let's put it there. Let's nut. Every time I come home, I think I'm in a new house. It doesn't look the same, ever. Always it's changed around, and the funny part of it is when we get all through, it's back where it was in the beginning. Always. What we got here? Robert Wilson and family from WADC Akron, Ohio. Well, how do you do, Wilson? Glad to see you. Glad to see you. Are you any kin to That's All? Different Wilson family. All right. You folks want to start out today here singing, do you? You've been rehearsing beautifully. Tony Marvin had them all going here today. And it's being the summertime. I think a very subtle coincidence is that we've got in the good old summertime handy. And all beautifully rehearsed. You folks want to sing? Huh? All right, go ahead, Lud. Play on it. Tony
will lead you.
Wait a minute. You start off like you were on NBC or something. What's the matter with you? On the first word. Come on. Talking about something that somebody had come up with called Lorelei. Did you hear me talking about that? Some kind of a new men's deodorant. L apostrophe capital O-R-L-A. Very French, very expensive. Lorelei. Well, I was talking about this thing. I think we saw an ad in the paper about it. So what happened? So I get a letter from the president, Mr. A.T. Levy. That's right, it says so right here. And a Frenchman. And it says, Lorelei, you know? Distinctive toiletries. You know, I'm amazed that censorship lets me say that on the air. Distinctive, you should pardon the expression, toiletries. You know? Says, dear Mr. Godfrey, I don't want you to think I am presumptuous. What a word, presumptuous. Is that what you are when you have to use this stuff? Presumptuous? That's a new one. But we really appreciated your mention of Lorelei on one of your programs. I noticed you mentioned on your early morning program that you are so tired. Well, frankly, I was tired when I made it my business to listen in, for it's a bit early for me. However, I am taking the liberty of sending you a package, which I think you will find to be quite a pickup. Summer, and this is kidding aside. Really. I hope to have the pleasure of meeting you someday. Best of luck, exclamation point. Cordially yours, Parfum Lorelei Incorporation. A.T. Levy, President. And what he has sent me is a box containing four bottles, see? Four bottles. The first one says on it, look at it, says Stick and Ball, 135, Gentleman's Lorelei, Double Purpose, L'Odorant. Double Purpose. What could be the other one? L'Odorant, let's see. Wait a minute, it's got a cork in it. Oh, brother. I think I'd rather smell like I do. Then there's another one for aftershave and another one for a hairdress. Oh, fancy a guy putting this in his hair, would you? What is it? That's a non-union barbershop thing, that's it. This thing here, this is called Lore Lev, Gentleman's Concentrated Lore Lev, L-O-R-L-E-V-E. What's that mean? Oh, I know, a combination. Lorelei and Levy, Lore Lev. This is oral freshener, deodorizing mouthwash. You know, science is wonderful. You don't have to take a bath anymore. You don't have to brush your teeth anymore. You don't have... heavenly days. Smells exactly like that stuff we used to make in a bathtub. What's the name of it? You know, during those dark, dreary days. That's when that stuff was born, you know, during Prohibition. You couldn't take a bath that was full of gin, so now they came out with this. Oh, honest, that's awful. I thank you very much, Mr. Levy. I'm going to give it to Cy Schaefer. Some bone player. He can use it, but not me. He's got a billy goat at home. Well, here's some very welcome news for lovers of good food. The first shipment of Swiss cheese since the beginning of the war has arrived in this country. The Holland-America motor liner Westerdam docked in New York the other day with 62 tons of the succulent stuff. Oh, boy, 62 tons of Swiss cheese. 60 tons of cheese, 2 tons of holes. Huh? Shouldn't be a total loss. You ought to put salamis in those holes. I told you the other day, didn't I, about a fancy new train being tried out in the New York subways? Speaking of loaded on. Now it's a fancy new type of bus that they're going to put into service here. And in other cities throughout the country, too. It's 12 feet longer than the ordinary city bus. And the amazing part is this. It's built in two sections. And the two sections are joined together with a giant accordion-like rubber diaphragm that looks kind of like a great big girdle, you know? You know what I mean. Like when you've been sitting in all day, you know, all wrinkled up. Now, on a trial run around the city, the bus got along swell, too, they say. I haven't seen it yet, but they say it did. But I got a hunch that after a hot day churning through the crowded city, I bet it felt good to get back to the garage and slip out of that darn thing. Huh? Well, I think Archie Blyer plays wonderful music, and he thinks that I have terribly funny jokes. Now that we've dispensed with the lying, we'll get down to business. Archie, would you play something while the boys along the network make an honest buck?
Thank you.
Gee, what are the words to that fool thing? Something about I found a new baby, eh? I found a new baby. 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 Very beautiful lyrics. I like that. Laurence Olivier. England. Is he French or English? Olivier, then. Laurence Olivier. Maybe he was kin to the fellow with the perfume there. Only he's from Ireland, maybe. But anyway, he's England's number one movie star. He was recently elevated to knighthood. Now it's to Laurence Olivier. Out in Hollywood, they're suggesting in all seriousness that Congress do the same sort of thing for our stars. John Crosby, the famous radio critic of the Herald Tribune, he's all for the idea. He thinks it's going to make the signs on movie marquees a whole lot more interesting, you know. For instance, Lady Lana, Duchess of Beverly Hills. Count Como. You know? His Royal Highness Elf. The Baron Benning. And Lord Rochester. Then they could have their massive, colossal picture of the year, you know, a $4 million production. And the GPU proudly presents the picture of the year, a $4 million production, three dukes, an all-title cast, three dukes, four viscounts, 22 countesses, and 200, count them, 200 baronets. And the title of the picture, The Life of Nick Penny. Of course, along with all this movie royalty, they have lots of loyal joint subjects. Hey, I'll let that one go. It needs some load of arms. No use letting it go and win, huh? Let's get the Mariners up here to do a tune for us. We didn't get them on yesterday. The Mariners have a tune called what, boys?
Red stockings and green perfume.
Oh, brother. You.
Here's a story of a roaring mine in town. And a gal who really knew her way around. They still talked of that event, 'cause the way she came and went, she took that town and turned it upside down. With a red silk stockings and a green perfume, she blew into this man's town with a silver boom. Never was any trouble, but she started from soon. With a red silk stocking and a green perfume. Oh, the town was growing and the money was flowing and the boys were growing up for the red silk stocking and the green perfume. She arrived in a stagecoach at the mine saloon. But I thought with an angel was the witch of broom. But there ain't enough room for the red silk stockings and the green perfume. Oh, the town was growing and the money was flowing and the boys were throwing it around for the red silk stockings and the green perfume.
He was singing a love song in the mine saloon
when along came a stranger. He was handsome and tall.
Won every last dollar that we had in the room.
And the red silk stocking and the green perfume. Oh, the town was growing and the money was flowing and the boys were throwing it up for the red silk stocking and the green perfume.
Thank you. Hey, I see Bing Crosby is going to England to make his next movie over there. I wonder what they're going to call it. Popping My Way? with Bing going British, I suppose we'll have to get ready for a slight variation in the technique. Maybe something like this. Well, in the blue of the night meets the gold of the day. A tickety boo. Is any more British? I couldn't talk at all, you know. See an item in Nick Kenny's column today. Dear Nick Kenny, my little girl, 2 years old, is the prettiest and most beautiful baby I've ever seen. Blonde, curly hair, big blue eyes, small mouth and nose, and very light complexioned. She is Hollywood timber. Can you arrange an interview or do something? Signed, Mrs. L. Lipson. And underneath that, he has editor's note. Try Arthur Godfrey. 2 years old, huh? Blonde and beautiful. Tell you what, Miss Lipson, I'll make a date with you right now. 2 p.m., Friday, July 3rd, 1966. At the old sailor's home. me. Jeanette, speaking of something red-headed and beautiful, you have a tune for us today?
Mm-hmm. Remember Mean to Me?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do that.
Mean to Me.
You're mean to me. Why must you be mean to me? Honey, it seems to me you love to see me crying. I don't know why I stay home each night when you say you'll fold. You don't, and I'm left alone, singing the blues and sighing. You treat me cold.
Did yourself there. You did beautiful. Sy, and you all met all these boys? Sy Schaefer at the trombone, Ludwig Slater with the piano, Johnny Mintz with the clarinet, Dean Traxler with the bass fiddle back there. He usually wears that under his chin, but it's hot today. And Remo with the guitar, and Lee Irwin at the organ. Incidentally, folks, if you hear any crackling in your radio on this show, it's your radio. It's all right leaving here. There's nothing wrong with us. Why don't you get this thing fixed, for heaven's sake? Can you folks hear it in that speaker? Crackle, crackle. It's all right here, you dude. In your house. Hey, you know something I found out today? This organist we got here, Lee Irwin, used to play, I think it was for 11 years, on a very beautiful program that I'll bet many of you gals and laddies did a lot of romancing to at midnight. On WALW in Cincinnati. Did you ever hear a thing called, what was the name of it? Moon River? Let the organist over there played it for years and years. Lee Irwin. Play a little of that theme song, will you, Lee? Coating I did to this thing. Take a little radio in the canoe. And this guy will be saying, dream on, dream on, dream river. I say, I shut up, I'm doing all right. Just when the thing gets interesting, you know, she says, listen, listen. Oh, dear. Hey, here is the new kitchen gadget that you want to buy, a donut gun. Yeah. You just fill the thing up with batter, you squeeze the trigger, and wham, you shoot out perfectly shaped donuts. And I got the... I got a few that you get one of these donut guns, ladies. And pick up a water pistol, too, at the same time, see? And then you give your husband a real treat tomorrow morning. You fill the water pistol with coffee. And the donut gun with batter. And you walk into the bedroom, he won't get up, huh? You walk into the bedroom like Gene Autry. And in a blaze of gunfire, you give him his donuts and coffee before he has a chance to get out of bed. Hi-ho, silverware! Let's get out of here, boys. It's too nice to stay in here today. Time today. If you all are going away tomorrow morning, before we get to you, have a good time, but take care of yourself. May the good Lord willing, we'll be seeing you. This is Arthur Godfrey saying bye-bye on CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.